ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हे भगवान् उवाच, मैवं विपोसुरानं ते प्रदेय पद्मसंभवा वरक्रूरनिसर्गानां अहिनम् अमृतं यथा। The personality of Godhead replied, just as it is dangerous to feed milk to a snake, so it is dangerous to give benedictions to demons who are by nature ferocious and jealous. I warn you not to give such benedictions to any demon again. Narada Muni continued, O King Yudhisthira, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not visible to an ordinary human being, spoke in this way, instructing Lord Brahma. Then, being worshipped by Brahma, the Lord disappeared from that place. Prahlad Maharaj then worshipped and offered prayers to all the demigods, such as Brahma, Shiva, and the Prajapatis, who are all parts of the Lord. Thereafter, along with Shukracharya and other great saints, Lord Brahma, whose seat is on the lotus flower, made Prahlad the king of all the demons and giants in the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. By the grace of Lord Narasingadev, Prahlad Maharaj became a greater king than his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad's inauguration was performed by Lord Brahma in the presence of other saintly persons and the demigods. Today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Text 30 through 33. In this series of verses, we find several valuable lessons to help us on the path of pure devotional service. Prahlad had no position. He was just a little boy, only 5 years. He was rejected by his father, who was a king of the Asuras. But he had devotion. He loved Krishna so much, he was willing to take any risk to be faithful to the words of his Guru Maharaj without consideration of the particular circumstance. He heard the teachings of Narada Muni. He followed them. And following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, he taught them to everyone he met. Fearlessly. Krishna tells in Gita, Mach chitamad gata prana bodhyanta parasparam katayantashchama nityam pushyanti charamanti cha. Devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss discussing topics of Krishna amongst each other. It's very interesting because Prahlad, up until this point, never even saw Narada Muni. Because when you're in the womb of your mother, you don't see. He was inside. Narada Muni was outside. He only heard him. His only connection to Narada Muni was through sound vibration. Some of you have not seen Srila Prabhupada physically with your eyes. Maybe when he was here, you were in some womb or something. But we read his books, we hear him. And the same transformation can take place if we are sincere and receptive. So he never saw Narada Muni, but he listened very, very carefully. And he dedicated his life. Srila Prabhupada told us, when devotees asked Prabhupada, what can we do to repay the debt we owe you? It's unlimited. Prabhupada asked us only two things. Just accept what I'm giving you by following and share it with others. This was Prahlad. He accepted what his Guru Maharaj said. And greatness comes when we are tested. Anybody can follow when everything is favorable and easy. It takes sincerity to remain faithful when there's every type of opportunity, temptation, or aversion that is being presented. And we find this a universal principle of all the great religions. Huh? It's just the opposite of Prahlad. She can see but not hear. To remain consistent with our teaching, she should hear. You don't have to see, but at least you should hear. Can you hear now? She cannot. Whoever is running the sound system is committing an aparadh if Kirtita Devi is not happy. Can you hear now? But not enough. She cannot hear. Hare Krishna. Thank you. When we are tested, we have a very precious opportunity to express our sincere desire to love Krishna and to please Krishna. For many of the early Christians, to follow Jesus means they were tortured and killed, crucified, or stoned, or thrown to lions. But they did it because they heard and they followed, and they preached. The early followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chand Kazi was very angry. By preaching Krishna consciousness or by having public kirtan, they were breaking the law. It wasn't just the local law. It was the law of the state, of the kingdom. And they were being beaten. They were being put in prison. They were being threatened. And they would come to Lord Chaitanya and say, this is what's happening. And he just said, keep doing, don't worry. Just go on chanting. And they did. And because he saw their sincerity, ultimately he came onto the street and led the first public Nam Sankirtan party and danced with Nityananda Prabhu all the way to the house of Chankazi. The first performance of Nam Sankirtan by Lord Chaitanya, Prem Sankirtan, that is what he brought to the world, was performed as a reaction to persecution and impediment. Lord Chaitanya, when he was asked by his mother and devotees to go to Puri instead of Vrindavan, when it was time to leave at a certain time, Sri Advaita Prabhu said, my Lord, it's not a good time to leave because there are different armies fighting amongst themselves right on the path. And these are dacoit armies. If they see a pilgrim just for a lota or anything, they will beat you and kill you and rob whatever you have. So just wait. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, when is there ever a time in this world where there are not impediments? We must carry on with our devotional service and chant the holy names. I will leave today because impediments are my friend. Whatever impediments come on the path of bhakti is your friends because they help you. As Mahaprabhu said, they come, or Krishnanam Prabhu, they help you come out of your comfort zone, impediments. They help you take shelter. They push you to make the decision by your free will. Am I going to be a person of substance? Or am I going to be superficial? And then later on, when they were actually on their way, at one point, they were on a boat going on the river. And the boatman was really afraid. Because Lord Chaitanya said, do kirtan. They were doing kirtan. The boatman said, stop this chanting. You don't know the area we're in. It was the night. The only way to get across this tract of land, it was so dangerous, is you had to do it at night so that people couldn't see you. He said, there are pirates who are just looking for anybody and everybody, and without a second thought, they will kill you and take whatever you have. Not only pirates, Bengali tigers, they're all over the place. They come out at night and they swim. If they know we're here, they'll swim right up to the boat and eat us. So just be quiet. So Mukunda Dutt stopped the kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you not chanting? Krishna's non-different than his name. If we take shelter of Krishna, why should we fear anything? Chant the holy names. And they had a very, very wonderful kirtan all the way across. So impediments are there. But they are, for a devotee, impediments are there to help us. When we have association of devotees, even the most difficult thing becomes possible. may not be easy, but in the association of devotees, everything is possible. Now, little Prahlad, there was not a single devotee anywhere. He had no access. Hiranyakashipu was really trying to groom him to be like father, like son. He isolated Prahlad in the palace. He was surrounded by asuras, very demoniac people. He had no association. He didn't have a gurukula. He had a gurukula, but the guru was Sukracharya, who was teaching only demoniac things, as Hiranyakashipu wanted the children to be raised. But for this little boy, he was rejected by his father. Still, everyone he met, he was preaching to. And he did it with such love and compassion. He had absolutely not a trace of false ego. He never thought he was better than anyone. He was just trying to serve. He always followed perfect etiquette. So little Prahlad, his father's killed. Narasingadev praises Prahlad with such beautiful words. Lord Narasingadev is praising Prahlad as being the best devotee. Anyone who hears about you and me and our relationship is going to go back to Godhead. What greater praise is that? So he's praising Prahlad with so much enthusiasm, and then he turns to Brahma, who's a very elderly man, actually. He's the senior most person in the universe in age. Yes? And very, very intelligent. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavayaya. That Krishna, at the very beginning of creation, spoke the Vedas to him, enlightened him from within the heart with all knowledge. And he has such huge responsibility. And we find here Lord Narasingadev, after praising Prahlad, he chastises Lord Brahma. Now we understand Lord Brahma is very great, but the Lord wants to teach lessons through devotees. Herein, the Lord is teaching us, he's not concerned with your position. He's concerned with your humility and your devotion. That's all. Nothing else impresses Krishna. Bhaktiyamam abhijanati. Only by devotion can I be understood as I am. There's no other way. He doesn't care about the position of Brahma. He's concerned with the devotion of Brahma. Whether you are temple president, big preacher, massive book distributor, GBC, whether you are honored and followed by many people, or whether you're just stringing flowers to make a garland, and you really have no other position than that. Krishna sees no difference. He sees the quality of your devotion. Kulaveta Sridhar was not a scholar. He was just sitting on the side of the road selling banana flowers, banana leaves. And sometimes he had some bananas, too, to sell. He was so unknown, nobody even knew his name. They just called him Kulaveta, banana seller. He was not honored or respected by anybody. He was in poverty. By material standards, dire poverty. And the local people would criticize him all the time. Why are you doing this screaming of God's names? What is he doing for you? Why doesn't he give you some food to eat? You're so skinny. Why doesn't he give you a house? Straw shack you live in. They would insult him all the time. But he just went on chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him as such a dear devotee. During the Mahaprakash, he sent the devotees all the way to Simantadweep to bring him so that he could reveal himself as Krishna Balaram. Lord Brahma is a very exalted person. But sometimes the Lord chastises even very exalted, intimate associates to teach us. King Prataparudra was an absolutely pure devotee. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach a principle about how those in the renounced order should be careful. And he said about King Prataparudra, to be near him is worse than drinking deadly poison willingly. Now these words all came back to the king too, I'm sure. He is abominable. You wouldn't see him. Hari Hari. But at the same time, the Lord wanted him to be in his position so much that when the king decided, I'm going to resign, the Lord, along with the devotees, made so many efforts to keep him in his position. Chota Haridas, he was a great soul. The Lord was very, very strict with him to teach us a lesson. But as far as Chota Haridas is concerned, at the end of the story, he's in his original spiritual body singing beautiful songs for Lord Chaitanya every night. It wasn't like he was envious. He made a mistake, and the Lord wanted to teach a lesson through him, but he was exalted. So the Lord is teaching a good lesson. Do not be attached to position. Do not pursue position. Pursue service. Position will come according to Krishna's will, according to the Vaishnava's will. The tendency is people become political. People fight and become envious over position. This has nothing to do with Vaishnav society. This is simply material life. That's all. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began the Ratha Yatra with this verse. He offered this prayer before he danced before the Lord. I'm not a Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. I'm not a sannyasi, brahmachari, grihasta, or vanaprastha. I'm none of these external designations. I only have one position, and I only have one aspiration. Anu. Anu means very atomic size. How many of you would like to be Anu? That's what it takes to love Krishna. He wanted to be an atomic particle, servant of the servant of the servant of all the other servants of the Lord. That was his only desire. Trinadapi Sunichena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught like this. In Navadvip, he told the devotees, We're chanting in the daytime, but we're wasting our time sleeping at night. Every moment is so precious. Not only should we do kirtan all day, but for the next 1 year, we will do kirtan all night. And the devotees, they didn't go all day and all night. I mean, on a codicil, that's understandable. But for 1 year? None of the devotees said, "My Lord, are you sure about this?" Nobody said, "I don't know if I can do it." All the devotees just went, "Hari bol, Hari bol." And then the Lord taught them, this is how you do it. And he gave them this verse, Trinarapi sunichena taror ibase hishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you are humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, and very respectful to everyone, not accepting, not desiring any honor for yourself, then kirtaniya sadahari. Then you could chant the name constantly. Because Krishna's pleased. And when Krishna's pleased, he reciprocates by revealing himself in the holy name. And when we taste the nectar of the holy name, we can't stop chanting. Lord Brahma was performing his duty as a demigod. Because, you know, it's his dharma. If somebody performs tapasya and does the puja, you have to give them what you want. That's a demigod's role. That's his dharma. So Hiranyakashipu paid the price. Can't discriminate. You have to give. Krishna tells in Gita, sarva dharman parityajya mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masaja. Abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender to me. So Brahma gave the benediction to demons doing his dharma, and here the Lord is saying, don't give any more demons any benedictions if they are envious and they are ferocious. Hare Krishna. Of course, he gave benedictions to Ravana later, but that's another that's another story. He was acting as an agent, as an instrument of the Lord's pastimes. If he didn't give those benedictions to Ravana, Ram wouldn't have never come to this world, and we would have never heard about Hanuman. So we should offer, actually, in one place. I heard a lecture recently where Prabhupada was saying that we should all offer our obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. He called him Sriman Hiranyakashipu. Because if not for him, there wouldn't have ever been a Lord Narasimhadev appearing in this world. So Lord Brahma is an instrument of the Lord's mercy. He's giving these benedictions because otherwise, you know, some warrior could have killed them. But he did it in such a way only God himself could kill them. They are the powers of Brahma. So after the Lord instructed Lord Brahma and chastised him, Lord Brahma, even though he's in such an exalted position, he didn't try to defend himself. Very humbly, he worshiped the Lord with love. This is a sign of a devotee. When you're chastised, no need to defend yourself. Actually, the more you defend yourself, to try to get your prestige
If you're with materialistic people, you might get some prestige. But when you're with devotees, it has just the opposite effect. The more you try to defend yourself, the more people lose respect in you. If you just say, I'm sorry, I did wrong, I'll really try better, devotees will really respect you for that. But if you say, well, no, not like that, actually it was like this and like that, and devotees, they may not say anything, but internally, very shallow Vaishnav here, very egoistic. Devotees are eager to admit mistakes. They're very eager to avoid praise if possible. If a devotee boasts about his or her accomplishments, the purpose is to get people to appreciate you. Now, in the material world, some people might appreciate you. But when you boast about your accomplishments to other devotees, they just silently lose their respect for you. But still, we're addicted to do it. But it has the opposite effect. So Lord Brahma was chastised, and he accepted it and worshiped the Lord. And then we find Prahlad, after Lord Narasimhadev departs, Prahlad is offering prayers and worshiping all the great souls assembled. This is a beautiful thing too, because Prahlad's the most exalted person there. The Supreme Personality of Godhead just praised him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead embraced him in front of everybody. The Supreme Lord offered him all benedictions. And the Supreme Lord ordered Prahlad to be the king, even though he didn't want to. But from Prahlad's side, he was honoring and worshiping everyone. It means he had no false ego. Amanina manadena. Vaishnav etiquette is so important. It describes earlier what Prahlad's nature was. He was the servant of everyone. There was no one he didn't serve. But he served everyone according to their position. To those who were in a lesser position to him, Prahlad was, even though he was 5 years old, he was like a loving father to those people, encouraging them, trying to uplift them, doing everything within his power to help them. To the extent that this little 5-year-old child is praying to the Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, let me remain in this material world as long as anyone is suffering due to forgetfulness, so that I could serve them by bringing them closer to you. And to those who were on an equal level to Prahlad, he was like a most compassionate friend, intimate friend, sharing his life, sharing his heart, sharing Krishna in a mood of service. To elders and superiors, Prahlad offered all respect. To superior Vaishnavas, he treated them all like his own guru, Narada Muni. And even Hiranyakashipu. Because he was in a superior position as Prahlad's father, Prahlad offered all respect to him. We don't see Prahlad disrespecting anyone. At the same time, he's not sentimental. in a material way. He's doing just the right thing, but always with respect. It's an art to defeat someone respectfully. Srila Prabhupada could do that. He's bowing down to his father with folded hands because it's the etiquette to respect a superior person, a person older than you. And he's telling the truth because he's in the mood of a servant. And to the Supreme Personality of God, he worshipped with his heart and his soul. So in this way, Prahlad was servant of everyone. And thereafter, Shukracharya was the headmaster of the school that was punishing Prahlad a few days before. Under his order, Sanda and Amarka were threatening to beat Prahlad with sticks because, you know, he wasn't accepting their philosophy. Their philosophy was how to exploit your friends and defeat your enemies. It's a science. And from Prahlad's point of view, I don't see anyone as a friend or enemy. I see everyone as part of Krishna. I'm everyone's servant. That didn't go well in his school. He was threatened. In fact, he got kicked out of school. He got suspended a couple times. His father brought him back. Then finally he got expelled. They brought him home and said, he's corrupting everyone. He's made every student a Vaishnav. Out, take him back. That's when Hiranyakashipu decided he must be dead. And here's the headmaster of the school now performing the installation, the coronation ceremony to make Prahlad the king. This is very interesting. When Lord Narasimhadev wanted to offer Prahlad some benediction, like a long life, Prahlad, he said, I'm coming from an atheistic family. I'm very, very materialistic by nature. Do not tempt me with these material benedictions. If I accept anything material from you, even if I accept anything spiritual, like liberation or mystic cities, anything, then I'm not a devotee. I'm just doing business with you. I'm your servant unconditionally. He didn't want anything. He really didn't want anything from the core of his heart. He just wanted to serve. But the Lord ordered him to become the king. And the king means a lot of money, a lot of luxury, a lot of power, a lot of prestige. Everything Prahlad hated, Narasimhadev gave it to him. Hare Krishna. Because the fact that he didn't want it, he was the most qualified. All he wanted to do was serve. He accepted his position only on the basis of service. Arjuna, he wanted to leave the battlefield. He said, let them have the kingdom. If it means all this fighting and death and all the ladies will be widows, let them have the kingdom. Krishna ordered him. No. On my order you fight. And you rule the world. They simply did it as a service. Again, we find this pratishta is very, very dangerous. We have to be very careful not to ever be allured into attachment to position or prestige. Money, the opposite sex, and prestige. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, these are the three great reasons for downfall, even for great souls. And except for Ramananda Rai and Naranarayan Rishi, no one is exempt, whoever you are. Cannot imitate them. It's a very powerful energy. Prahlad wanted nothing but service. Because as soon as we become attached to any of these things, our service attitude is destroyed. Just like that Vasudev who had leprosy, there was nothing for him to be proud of. He had such extreme leprosy. There were worms eating his body. And he was so humble, if a worm fell from his body, and there were millions of such worms, he would carefully, respectfully, he would offer obeisances to the worm and put it back where it fell from. He didn't want to deprive the worm from his meal, even though his meal was his body. He thought he was a servant of the worms that were eating him. That was his mentality. Now, if you try to imitate that, you won't survive. But we should at least understand the spirit and adopt the spirit in a reasonable way. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and cured him of his disease and made him beautiful, Vasudeva became very worried. He didn't say anything, but he became very worried in his mind that now people will praise me because I have received great mercy. And if I start enjoying this praise, then my service attitude will be corrupted. And then I won't be able to please the Lord. The Lord is pleased by our service attitude. He's not. Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna does not accept the thing that is offered. He accepts the purpose in which it's offered. The intent. He is bhavagrahi. He accepts our feeling. Our service attitude. That's all. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood Vasudeva, leper's heart. And he said, just always chant the holy names of Krishna and share this message with others, and pride will never come into your heart. I will protect you. So little Prahlad, can you imagine 5 years old being made the king of the demons? That means all the armies of everything of Hiranyakashipu, now Prahlad's in charge. The same people that were trying to kill him, now Prahlad's their king. He's their father. The king is supposed to be the father of all the citizens. Not an easy service. But he didn't question. He didn't argue. He revealed his mind to the Lord. I don't want anything from you except just let me be an instrument of your mercy. The Lord said, this is the way I want you to be the instrument.
live in your father's palace and be the king. Prahlad accepted. And we find here he's being coronated. Translation, they made Brahma and Shukracharya made Prahlad the king of all the demons and giants of the universe. Sometimes devotees complain. They have a department and some people are not, you know, perfectly humble and pure. How to engage them in devotional service. This person is argumentative. How do I deal with it? It's very difficult. I should give up this service. It's too much anxiety. Would you like Prahlad service? All these Rakshasas and Asuras and everybody, he's their ruler now. And he, because he was so compassionate and so totally Krishna conscious, he transformed everyone's hearts. We were discussing King Prataparudra. Because he wasn't attached to the position, but he was attached to the service, the Lord was pleased with him. And the Lord showed his greatness. When King Prataparudra found out, the Lord will not meet me because I'm a king, he made the decision. It wasn't just an empty threat for some kind of a psychological strategy. It was for real, because the Lord sees bhavagrahi. He sees your intent. He knew this king was serious. The king resolved, if that's what it takes for me to meet Lord Chaitanya, I will forever give up my entire kingdom and become a beggar. Live on the street for the rest of my life, homeless, and go door to door begging for some food. If that's what it will take to see the Lord. He had no hesitation, because all he wanted to do was please the Lord. When this news came to the devotees, they were very, very much concerned, because he was such a good king. This is the kind of person you want to be the king. He loved Lord Jagannath. So they went to Lord Chaitanya. Somehow or other, we have to keep him in his position. That's so interesting. They were making all kinds of arrangements to keep him in his position, and he wanted to give up his position. This is a Vaishnav. There was no negotiations. They somehow or other kept him in there by giving some piece of cloth of Lord Chaitanya, that he could worship as the Lord himself. Then they brought the Lord's son so he could embrace him. Lord Chaitanya embraced his son. Then when his son came back, when King Prataparudra embraced his son, he felt as if he was embracing Lord Chaitanya. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king sweeping the street before the Ratha Yatra. Sweeping the street for the pleasure of Jagannath and all the Vaishnavas. The Lord sees the heart. Because, you know, in our Ratha Yatra, sometimes we invite politicians and they sweep the street. But the reason they sweep the street is because there's newspapers there taking photos. And they're thinking, the poor people are going to vote for me because they see I'm so humble that I'm sweeping the street. Yes. So they have ulterior motives. Now the Lord sees your purpose. They're going to make some advancement because they're with devotees and doing some service, but it's not very pleasing to the Lord. When King Prataparudra was sweeping the street, he really felt in the core of his heart that he was just a street sweeper. He was happy to accept the most menial service for everyone else. Yes, I'm in the post of king because I'm born and that's my duty, but this is who I really am. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. That's all he wanted. And Lord Chaitanya saw that that's all he wanted. And then Lord Chaitanya decided, I will give him my complete mercy. And it was in that Ayutthaya garden during the Balakandi when everyone is offering bhoga to Jagannath all around his chariot. Lord Chaitanya went into a garden with his devotees, and he was laying on a raised platform, resting after dancing all day. The devotees, Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Nityananda Prabhu, said, go in and massage the Lord's lotus feet. Now, King Prataparudra really had to have faith in the devotees to do this. Because Lord Chaitanya already said that to see him would be abominable. And during the Ratha Yatra, one time Lord Chaitanya was dancing, and he went into ecstasy and fell back right into King Prataparudra's arms. And as soon as he touched King Prataparudra, he turned around, saw him, and with a very, very disgusted expression, he said, abominable, I have been touched by a materialist. And King Prataparudra was mortified. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, actually, he's very pleased. He's just saying this for the sake of others. But when the Lord says that about you, it's a very serious experience. So that's what the Lord just said when he touched him. How abominable. I have been touched by a materialist. And Lord Chaitanya jumped away and wouldn't even look back at him. And now the devotees are telling the king, go in and massage his feet. But don't dress like a king. Put on devotee clothes. He had such faith in those devotees. He went in and started massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet. And on the instruction of the devotee, he chanted Gopi Gita. Jayate te tikam janmana praja. He was massaging and singing the songs of gopis. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing these prayers of love, he pretended not to recognize that he was the king. He said, go on reciting, go on reciting. And when he chanted that verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam, that the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Katha, is like an ambrosial flow of nectar. And anyone who distributes this nectar to the world is most munificent. Lord Chaitanya sat up and cried, you are most munificent. And embraced King Prataparudra again and again and again. He kept embracing him.
And then the Lord tested the king. He said, "You have come to bring me so much nectar. Who are you?" Now, this is really serious dilemma. Because you can't lie to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can't lie to the absolute truth and think you're going to get away and think you can get away with it. And at the same time, if he said, "I am King Prataparudra in disguise." That would be very difficult. How did he deal with it? He dealt with it completely honestly. And what he spoke, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with. He spoke from his heart. When Lord Chaitanya said, "Who are you? I want to know." King Prataparudra said, "I am the servant of the servant of your servants. And my only aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of your servants." That was his feeling of his identity. And because he spoke so honestly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his opulences. He actually manifested his form of Krishna to King Prataparudra because he only wanted to be the servant of the servant of the servant. He would be happy sweeping streets for the rest of his life. But the Lord and the devotees wanted him to be king. So he was a great king. He was winning wars. He was a powerful king. That was his service. This is bhakti. Savaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoitiki apruti hata yagatma supraseded. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving devotional service to the Lord. Such devotion must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, great guru, even the greatest renunciates, like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Paramahamsa, personification of renunciation, accepted Bhakti Vinod as a Shiksha Guru, would come to hear him speak. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a magistrate in the courts. Very, very honorable position. When you're a magistrate in the court, when people approach you, they say, "Your Honor." Right? Your Honor. Devotees don't like to be honored, but everyone's saying, "Your Honor." He was in that post. But he reveals his heart in a beautiful song. Tumi to Thakur tomara kukur boliya janaho more. He says, "My Lord, Saravasva Tomar, Charana Samiya, that all I have and all I am, I surrender unto you. I am your dog. Your obedient dog." Now, in America, it's quite an exalted position to be a dog. If somebody says, I'm your dog in America, they'll say, oh, then, you know, I have to serve you very nicely. If you're an adult in America, nobody, not your own relatives, not your best friends, nobody will clean your excrements after you respond to the calls of nature. In other words, no one will pick up your stool and urine. Yes? Is anyone doing that for you? Raise your hand. When was the last time someone picked up your urine stool? But if you were a dog in America, somebody would be doing that for you wherever you go. So it's a very exalted position. But in India, it's not like that. Well, it's becoming like that, but at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it definitely was not. He's not saying, my lord, I am your lion. Or, my lord, I am your peacock. My lord, Tumito Thakur Tomara Kukur, you are my lord and I am your dog. Very, very humble position. And he explains, and what my service will be is just to protect whatever you desire. I'll be at the doorstep of your house just to protect your will. Whatever you want, I am there for you. That is why he is so exalted. He just wanted to serve in the most humble position. And Srila Prabhupada, in his prayers of Jaladutta, he's not asking Krishna, make me an acharya. He's asking Krishna, make me your puppet. Most of the prayers, he's just talking about what he can't do. I'm a very unfortunate person. How will I make these people understand your message? I have no power. Only if you give me the words. I've come here on the order of my guru. Now only you can fulfill this order of my guru. Just make me a puppet. Make me dance as you want me to dance. That's all Prabhupada ever wanted, is just to be Krishna's puppet. He prays, I have no devotion and I have no knowledge, but you have given me this name, Bhaktivedanta. Now it is for you to fulfill the purport of my name. And how does he sign his name? How does he sign this prayer? Your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Now, he wasn't writing this for us. That was between him and Krishna. I don't think Prabhupada knew anybody else would ever read that. He never showed it to anyone. It was discovered, I think. Yes, Yamuna Devi Prabhu? It was discovered in one of his trunks years later. It was just the personal prayer from his heart to Krishna. And we could understand his humility. Really following in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the great acharyas. He wanted nothing but to serve. And at the beginning, servant, Yamuna Prabhu saw, he was cooking for the devotees. He was cooking for Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki Prabhu's marriage feast, because nobody else knew how to cook. Have you ever heard of a sannyasi cooking a wedding feast? In America, they never heard of a sannyasi doing anything. But in India, here is a great Paramhamsa Acharya who's just come from the Sevakunj district, Radha Damodar of Vrindavan. He's translating the Srimad Bhagavatam, most exalted service. But he's just a servant. Whether he's translating Bhagavatam or whether he's cooking a feast for somebody's wedding, cleaning up after it, just doing very menial services. And he was happy. Sally Agarwal, when we met her, she was telling us when Prabhupada was living in Butler, Pennsylvania, he was just doing, he was cooking for them every day. They're all meat eaters. The whole family was meat eaters. And they watched television all day. Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come to their house to cook for them. Unbelievable. And even though she would cook every day, and he would put his heart and soul, he would make a wonderful prasad. She said it was the best food she ever ate. And she's an American lady. But she said, Prabhupada was so happy doing it. It wasn't like, God, I have to cook for these malechas. No, he loved them. They were malechas, there's no doubt. You know, he had to take out a refrigerator. There was meat in the refrigerator. And he was cooking pure prasad, offering it to Krishna and serving them. And he was happy. He was blissful doing it. Just a servant of the servant of the servant. This is the situation Krishna put him in to serve his Guru Maharaj. And he was happy to do it. And then when he came to the Bowery, it was worse. Very unprotected at the age of 70. Death threats, left on the street, robbed. Never complained. He was just happy serving. And then later on, when he was by Krishna's arrangement, like Prahlad, he just wanted to serve. He even asked his god brothers, you come, you be the acharya, I'll help you. But nobody wanted to come because it was too difficult. So like Narsingadev put Prahlad on the throne, Krishna put Srila Prabhupada on Vyasa-san. And thousands of people chanting his names, Jai Prabhupada, and doing Guru Puja, and offering their lives. When Prabhupada came to Bombay, he was with no pride. He was just, according to a person's consciousness, you have to connect to them. A real preacher is compassionate. It's not just a matter of repeating the books. You have to repeat the books. Prabhupada said you should repeat whatever I'm saying without changing. But what makes you really effective is if you do that with compassion. And compassion means making it relevant to the people. If you are not relevant and your message is not relevant, people are not going to digest it or benefit from it. So here's Prabhupada, so humble. And he's talking to the big business people in Bombay to try to get them serious about Krishna consciousness. There's a beautiful tape where he's telling, I don't remember the exact, but in
in general. He's saying, I left India with 40 rupees, and now we have so many centers, and we are spending no less than like 3 lakhs a day, right? And something like that. And he said, and not only that, these are all young American boys and girls coming from very wealthy families, and they are giving their lives all day and all night serving me, and I don't pay them anything. These businessmen were really impressed. They can't get people to do what they want even when you pay them. So this is preaching. You know exactly what to say. To make his message real, to open their hearts. Unless a person's heart is open, you can't really benefit them. And Prabhupada was a master at opening people's hearts. People surrendered to him because he was just so kind and loving, even before they knew what he was talking about. Yes? Oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like King Prataparudra, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he identified, like Prahlad Maharaj, he was just the servant of the servant of the servant, insignificant beggar. But as a service to the Lord, he was willing to accept being in airplanes. When he came to New York, he got off the Jaladuta, 31 days in an old cargo ship going across oceans. 31 days. Heart attacks, seasickness. He got off that boat in just a dirty, filthy dockyard and didn't know anyone. He said when he came off the Jaladuta, he looked right, he looked left. There was nobody there. He met someone as he walked a little more distance, a stranger who was just paid to put him on a bus alone. But when he first came off the Jaladuta, he was just looking right and left. He didn't know if anyone was going to be there. He had no money. But he told Brahmananda Prabhu, that he was not at all disturbed because he had complete faith in the order of his guru and in the holy name of Krishna. And then a few years later, he's riding on jet airplanes. And every time he goes to the airport, there's sometimes hundreds of devotees doing kirtan and giving him flowers and offering him feasts. And then when he gets off the plane, there's even more people waiting to greet him. But he was the same either way. He was just servant of the servant. That is a Vaishnav. That is the message of Prahlad Maharaj. He accepted the kingdom although it's the last thing in the world he ever wanted. He accepted it because it was Krishna's wish. Is there any questions? Yes, Raj Bihari Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your class and for the association you're giving us. Maharaj, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, we may be naive and foolish, but we like certain things, and it's very easy to appreciate devotees for simple things. Like we may like somebody dancing in kirtan and things like that, and that gives us happiness. The simple things gives us happiness. Now, as we take responsibilities, and you know, apparently we become mature, apparently, and then we think we hear about certain problems or certain controversies, and we take practical management decisions. Then we think we are becoming mature, but we tend to drift towards the cynical side. You know, we may become a little cynical and suspicious, or we may not be impressed by anything so easily. So my question, Maharaj, is how do we balance, in the sense, how do we become mature and take more responsibilities for Prabhupada's mission and also become simple at heart? And Hare Krishna.
Do you like to answer that, Yamuna Prabhu? Do you like to answer? By your order, hopefully I will be empowered to do so. I think we all have that experience. It takes a very honest person to ask this question. Thank you very much. There is the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. When everything and everyone is very new, it's very easy to appreciate. But as we become familiar, and we see that not everyone is as pure as we thought they were. When people first come to Krishna consciousness, the tendency is everyone is like a paramhamsa. Yes? You're just thinking, these people are unbelievable. But then after you're around for a while, you start thinking, you start seeing faults. And sometimes you're exposed to politics and you understand this is really not the right thing, because it is the material world. So what you're talking about is inevitable for everyone, to be exposed to situations which justifies are becoming cynical, are seeing faults instead of the good qualities. Now, how to balance it? We have to see through our ears. Prabhupada taught us to see through our ears. We have to learn to see by what we hear. Prabhupada personally said, if devotees have faults, you should see it as pod marks on the moon. The moon is giving so much light, but the fact is, there are marks on the moon. Now you may, if you're in a management position, you may have to deal specifically with those marks and make decisions based on those pod marks. But we still have to balance it with the fact that the person's chanting Hare Krishna. There's a story when two devotees really had serious dispute with each other, two god brothers. And it became quite ugly. They were brought before their guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And he's Singha Guru, very powerful person, very humble, very gentle, very sweet, but very powerful. And he looked at them, and he wasn't just going to be a mediator. He was going to try to resolve the problem in his way. He looked at this one man, Vaishnav, and he said, I want you to tell me the good qualities of this devotee. right in front of him. Now, he's just been finding fault with that person for so many weeks. He forgot about any good qualities. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I only see faults in others because I am honeycombed by so many hundreds and thousands of faults myself. The world is a mirror of your own consciousness. Prahlad was seeing good in everyone, even here on Yakashipu. He saw their faults, but he balanced it that he's a spirit soul. Now, when Prabhupada came to 26 Second Avenue, or the Bowery, I mean, he could have, when people were coming in, they were having illicit sex, they were taking intoxication, they were eating meat, they were gambling their lives away, they were not at all brahminical. Many of them hadn't bathed in, nobody even knows. They had no conception of God. This is reality. Prabhupada could have said, meat eater, sex monger, malecha. And he would have been right. I mean, there were so many pod marks. Like a honeybee. In a massive sewage dump. Prabhupada was looking for one little flower. And he just zoomed in on that flower and nourished it in such a way that eventually the whole sewage dump would become a flower garden. That's how he made us devotees, by seeing good in us, although there was unlimited faults. Yes? That's how every single one of us here have been given Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna and his representatives overlooked all of our faults, all of our envy, all of our lust, all of our sinful activities, everything, and just saw the potential good in us and nourished that. Yes? So who are we to treat others otherwise when that's our only qualification, is that someone did that for us? Should balance by remembering that. If Prabhupada loves this person because they're serving his mission, that's more important than everything else. Everything else is a detail. We may have to deal with the details. We do, if we're in management, if we have to deal with the details. But they have to be balanced with the foundational principle that Prabhupada loves this person. Krishna loves this person. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Because out of so many millions of people, this person is chanting Hare Krishna. This person wants to do some service. They're one out of millions. Krishna loves this person. Prabhupada's grateful to this person. Why can't I see that? If I can't see that, the problem is in me, not them. Krishna is pleased with you when you appreciate the good in others. That's how you make advancement. It's a very powerful way of making advancement. When you appreciate any type of devotional service of another devotee, Krishna is so pleased by that appreciation, he showers his mercy upon you. We were speaking the story of Maharaj Prataparudra. The devotees were watching from outside the garden as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him and showing opulences to him. And when he came out, the devotees were even happier than he was. Is that possible? Is it possible to be happier than he was? His life's dream was to be accepted by the Lord, and the Lord embraced him, shed tears of love on him, praised him, showed him his form of Krishna. But the devotees were even more happy because they appreciated so much that he received the mercy of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, this is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is one who rejoices to see another person getting mercy from Krishna. And a person who is not really a Vaishnava is one who is envious when they say, why is he getting and not me? Or why is she getting and not me? If we have that quality, we should understand that's a disqualification. When we're happy to see other people prospering, when we're happy to see the good in others, then we're making great spiritual progress. When we're cynical about the problems with others, even if the problems are there, deal with it according to what has to be done. But balance it with the way Prabhupada has told us. The person is one out of millions chanting the holy names. And we should honor and respect that person. And if we're hearing Krishna Katha sincerely, we'll develop a higher taste. And then we won't enjoy being cynical. We won't enjoy finding faults in others. Rupa Goswami explains one of the qualifications of a pure devotee is you lose any tendency to find faults in others. Now, for the purpose of service, sometimes you point out how a person could be improving. But you're not taking pleasure in finding fault. You're not trying to bring the person down. You're trying to push the person up. If that's your motivation, then correcting a person, protecting people, if that's your motivation, then it's good. So if we have this tendency, I need to take the medicine of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam sincerely, chanting the holy name sincerely, and not acting according to these anarthas. One devotee came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kuliagram and said, I have blasphemed your devotees, but now I realize that I was wrong. What should I do? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, criticizing a devotee with your mouth is none different than drinking poison with that mouth. It kills your propensity to serve, criticizing others. Criticizing others is like poison that kills your service propensity. He said, with the same mouth that you drank poison, you must drink nectar. That will counteract the poison. And Lord Chaitanya said, and the nectar is praising and appreciating the Vaishnavas and chanting the holy name. So if you're cynical toward others and you think the problem's in them, you're lost. You're lost. You're not going to get better. But if you understand the disease is in me and you take the medicine, then Krishna will be yours. Would you like to add anything? Please accept me as your son.
think we should end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.